You know, last Saturday, I was in Lake Mills, Wisconsin, and there for some little event. And I stopped at a coffee shop, and it had a nice outdoor terrace. And I was sitting on the outdoor terrace having coffee with family members. And right next door was the Lake Mills Library. And in the half hour that we were there, I was absolutely amazed at the number of people who went in and out of that library in that short period of time. It was a bustling place. What about your local library? Have you visited your local library? There's a lot more than just books available. And I want to talk about that today with John DeBacher, who is director of the Public Library Development Team in the Division for Libraries and Technology of the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction. And so we're going to talk with him about what today's libraries offer, what they add to our communities, and I hope you'll join in. Why do you go to your library? Do you go to your library? What experiences have you had there at your library that makes your life more fun or better? We'd love to hear from you. I hope you'll give us a call. Maybe you work at a library. Love to hear from you, too. 1-800-642-1234. That's the number to call. 1-800-642-1234. Or you can send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. John DeBacher, welcome. Thanks for taking time to be with us today. Appreciate it very much.
Oh, thanks, Larry. Glad to be here.
Well, tell me about your job. Tell us about your job.
All right. The Public Library Development Team, we're a team primarily of four consultants and support staff. We work with the 380 public libraries throughout the state and the 16 regional library systems to help them with their operations, to make sure they operate legally, and also to support the work they do. We administer federal grant funds that we get, and we also distribute the state funding to the 16 regional library systems.
Yeah. What was your first experience with a library?
Well, it's interesting. I was an English major. I went in and out of college as an English major. I was a little bit taken aback when my father, who'd been a power tool executive, suggested, maybe you should look into being a librarian. Like, what do you think of me? That's my goal. I thought I'd be a writer or a teacher or whatever. But after some time working in publishing, I'd heard while I was living in Boston that there was a shortage of children's librarians, and I'd also always been interested in the design and the of picture books and children's literature, mm-hmm. and that in the 80s was a very growing area. And I checked, and there was indeed a kind of a shortage of children's librarians. We moved back to Chicago, and the next year I started in library school and worked at Chicago Public Libraries first, and then worked at a small rural library in Michigan for about 5 years as director, but they didn't have a children's librarian, so I supported the summer library program and did some of the story times. I really liked folk tales and storytelling, mm-hmm. and kind of engaging an audience. And then I came here to Wisconsin, had a terrific opportunity. I was director for about 11 years of the Monona Public Library here near.
That's
in the
greater
Madison
great
area.
Library, by the way.
Well, thank you. Lived through the expansion project they did in 2000 to 2002, and then became a consultant at the DPI at the end of 2004, which was an opportunity to work with the library directors, the library boards, and the systems to, help them work through the back room nuts and bolts of operating a library and doing budgets and working with the municipality and garnering support, maybe establishing a friends group or a foundation, all of those things that help the front-facing services. The library is kind of the community family room.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Well, a number of people online to talk with you. Michael in White Plains, New York, we'll give you a chance. Hi, Michael.
Hello.
Hi, what's on your mind today?
Well, I am an artist and an author, and I'm based in White Plains, New York, but I'm on a 100-library tour in 17 states doing an art program for kids and families. And I'm in Green Bay today and tomorrow, and I'm going to be doing a program today at 1:30 at the Brown County Central Library, and tomorrow also at 1:30 at the East Branch Library. And I was listening to your introduction to the piece about libraries and just wanted to mention that besides having all sorts of resources, books and videos and access to computers, and most importantly, librarians who are sitting there waiting for people to come in and are ready to assist you to find out information about whatever you want to know. I mean, they're like teachers to the world. Mm-hmm. There's also great programs for kids, teens, adults, and my program is a multi-generational program where people, generally school age and up, because my project that I teach is a collage workshop using cereal boxes.
Really? That is very cool, Michael. Thanks a lot for calling. I'm glad he called because libraries, as he's saying, are not just not only books. I mean, I shouldn't say only books. I mean, books are wonderful and they're great, but isn't he right?
Oh, that's so true. And Michael, that was a terrific opportunity for me to talk about how the programming in libraries is more than just the story times, the children's story times, or the lapsets. I shouldn't say just, because that was a terrific development during the last 40, 50 years. As the baby boom population went through, there were extra calls on the library. And then as I'm right in the middle of the baby boom, as our children then swelled the school populations and the community populations, there was another opportunity. But now we see the demographics, all of us baby boomers will be retiring, will be available whether to volunteer or to take advantage of the programs at libraries. And we really need to keep people engaged and involved, keep their minds active, keep them, get them out, get them moving. And you brought to light a training program. We just finished up four trainings through Lifetime Arts, which is out of New York, on using the creative arts with older populations to keep them engaged, whether it's painting programs or creation programs like yours, or whether it's a reader's theater or writing workshops or dance, movement, some sort of easy performance arts. Those are great ways to keep the older adults. It's even the pre-services that libraries are doing for memory care and dementia. This is before that. This is to help stave off the, atrophy or the entropy mm-hmm. that older adults may go through. So I really appreciate you calling, Michael. Multi-generational is a great opportunity, too, because there's much that the older adults have to teach, and there's much that the young can learn. And vice versa. We've had programs in libraries where the high school students will do some of the technology training with older adults who bring in the smartphone that their kids sent them and they want to know how to use them. So thanks again.
Yeah, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. And as you were talking, I was thinking about just to pick out a group. Elderly are oftentimes... I've read some research on this where people tend to become more away from other people the older they get, and the libraries serve a function of getting all of us out and into the community and seeing other people, and that stimulation I think is really important. Yeah, I Michael, thanks again for calling. Barb in Jackson County, your turn. Hi, Barb.
Hi, I want to tell you that I'm a retired teacher, and I live in Black River Falls, and I take my grandsons every Friday, they're 3.5 and 1.5, to the library preschool hour. That is the highlight of their week. In fact, I use it as a behavior motivator. You know, if you want to go to the library with me on Friday, you better listen. And they absolutely, they know all of the staff. They just look forward to it. And I just can't say enough things about the Black River Falls Library.
Oh, Barb, thank you so much. Comment, John?
Yeah, I'm great to hear that. Black River Falls was actually the first library established in the late 1800s under the state's first library legislation, even though Milwaukee had been operating a public library just as a community service. Black River Falls has a terrific history, and they still have a great local history room in their library, as well as a broad range of programs.
Barb, thank you so much. John DeBacher, our guest today, Director of Public Library Development. He's within the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction. He's going to be with us right up till 12:30 today. We are going to take a quick look at the news, weather, find out what else is in store for us, and then we'll be back. So call in with your questions and comments. Wanda and Beloit, stay with us. We'll be back with you in just a few minutes. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller, talking about Wisconsin public libraries on the show today with our guest, John DeBacher. He is a director of the Public Library Development Team in the Division for Libraries and Technologies of our Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction. So it's great to have him here. How important is your library to you? Are you having experiences with your local library or questions about it? Maybe some issues you think need addressing. Join in. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, or send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. And Wanda's been from Beloit's been waiting a bit, so let's go to Wanda. Thank you very much for calling.
Hi, this is Wanda the Book Lady from St. Vincent de Paul store in Blight. It all started when I had some time to kill downtown Blight. I think my car was being fixed or something. And I wandered into St. Vinny's and, of course, had to look over the books. And they were in no particular order. Everything was just all kind of mixed up. Well, I picked up a book or two. And as I peeked with them, I asked, would it be okay if I came in here once in a while and organized these books? Well, that was 4 years ago.
And you're still doing it.
Yes, and I have nothing but praise for the book department. And as libraries go, well, I have a lot of people who love books. They love to touch the pages and feel the covers, and they buy them for 50 cents for paperbacks or a dollar for a hardcover. I keep the prices the same. Take them home and read them. Donate them back.
There you go. Thank you, Wanda, for calling. And you know what? I'm sure you're not against that either, are you, John?
Oh, no, not at all. And in fact, I'm sure the Friends of the Beloit Public Library would love to have you come in and help with their periodic or ongoing book sales. And it's people who show an interest in libraries and in reading, and then that organizing. How do you get the display set up? How do you have them categorized? So you've done a terrific job in helping St. Vincent de Paul's support the people in the community that benefit from those services. And the public libraries, yeah, like I say, they often receive donations too and may already have things in their collection. And so the Friends of the Library groups will hold fundraisers, and the book fundraisers are traditionally it. And, of course, we've got the little free libraries springing up around communities that, while they're not libraries in the sense that there's a librarian or that they're checked out, the idea is you take one, you leave one. And so that's the difference between the carbon-based books and kind of the e-books that are a little bit more difficult to share is that copyright of first ownership, where you can pass it on to somebody else, you can sell it, you can loan it, and it's been a terrific benefit to libraries throughout the ages.
Yeah, Wanda, thanks again. Shelley and Madison, your turn. What's on your mind?
Hi, thank you. First of all, I'm a powerful supporter of libraries, and I'm happy you're having this program. I want to make a comment first, and then I have a question. My comment is, thank you for your work at the DPI. I work with military children and military families, and I love the work Badger Link does to get information, current resources to military families. So thank you for that. And then my question is, I'm looking for your thoughts, your opinion on sort of the change that's taking place where there is a decline, let's say, in the college programs for training and certifying librarians, where now it seems like many of the libraries are replacing librarians with people who have expertise in technology and media. I would be interested in your comments, and I can take your comments off the air or on there, whichever you prefer.
All right. Shelley, thanks a lot for calling. John, comments.
Thanks, Shelley. And that's a tough issue, in particularly in the school libraries. In many of parts of the state, they found that it's difficult even to recruit and retain people who had both a full library degree as well as the teaching certification. So and because I work with public libraries, I'm not as familiar with some of the changes that have made in the licensing. But we still encourage school districts to have trained librarians, and in fact, each district needs to have one in order to get funding called the Common School Funds, which is about $38 million per year that are distributed on a per student basis for buying libraries, materials, and resources. It is true, too, that there's been changes in the needs of the public and the needs of the students, so that the librarians were looked at more for supporting the computer training, and the computer labs were often located in or adjacent to the library. And there have been a little bit further developments where now there'll be a computer training specialist, and there may still be a school librarian who has those skills as well as the collection development skills and can do that among the libraries throughout the district. In public libraries, I appreciate your call too, because the UW system, there were more opportunities to get library undergraduate degrees in past years, and those have diminished. I know one exception is Chippewa Falls Technical College has actually developed programs and training for library technical skills, and also the UW offers courses online throughout the state for those who become public library directors. And if they don't have a library degree, there are four courses that we set the kind of the curriculum and content for those, and they need to, in order to obtain and retain their certification, take those four courses, and then to renew the public librarian certificate, over each 5 years, they need to attend at least 100 contact hours of continuing training. And those are all across the range of, you know, developments, whether it's, you know, collection development, or whether it's programming ideas, or whether it's serving these, the older populations, or we had a terrific program that we're continuing on early learning and school readiness and how the public libraries can play a role in that. So I appreciate your question, and I hope we can all still recognize that librarians have to have a foot in both worlds to be able to use. It used to be that the technology was helping the materials handling, cataloging and checking the books out. But technology has become somewhat of a commodity in itself. So we need to be able to help people if they bring in their e-readers to be able to help. We've got one of the third largest collections, overdrive collections in the world of e-books that can be downloaded and used on devices at home, and a lot of audiobooks. And that's a statewide collection that has been done cooperatively among the systems and public libraries rather than each having to develop a collection of their own. But use of those, I joke and call them carbon-based resources, the print books still hold strong, and there are many even younger readers who prefer that format to use. So we're having to support both now.
And it seems to me, I just wrote a piece recently about the sort of reinvigoration of libraries. You see that?
Oh, I think so. There's I of course, haven't survived a library expansion and having to be able to support new types of services as well as the ones people traditionally think of libraries for, a quiet place to go to work, a place to be able to, you know, connect your computer, to have Wi-Fi, to be able to do some work, to have small meeting rooms in case you need to conduct an interview or you're a salesperson who needs a place to conduct some business while on the road. All of those are the types of services that public libraries are looked upon. We're also seeing that from state and federal agencies with the economic downturn we had. We were one of the first to try to support online learning and skills development and be able to help with programs where through changes in the economy, employees had to learn new skills. And even though the unemployment is relatively low now, there's still employers who want their employees to have more skills, whether, you know, with databases, spreadsheets, document development, mail merge. All those can be learned through, I think, the plug for BadgerLink, too, because we've got resources there for many of those learning resources.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Thanks again for that call. Grace in New Glarus, we'll turn to you now. Hi, Grace.
Hello. I am a lifelong, literally lifelong library user. I grew up in California, and I cannot remember the first time I went to a library, but as soon as I could get down to our library on my own, 6-7 years old, riding my bike down, I was at the library several times a week in the summertime. I live outside the village of New Glarus now in the town, and we have had an incredible struggle to get a new library here. We have a phenomenal staff who have ridden out ups and downs. We have a phenomenal group of people who have worked for probably close to 30 years now to get us a new library building, and we have had obstructionist village boards and obstructionist individuals particularly in the village. We've had wonderful people who have spent an incredible amount of time raising money, getting plans drawn up, only to have them shot down. And now, finally, we will be moving ahead with building a new library on a really lovely site on the east side of the village. I'm sorry, on the west side of the village. And I'm just amazed at some of our staff members who have just kept going.
Yeah, I bet. Well, you know, I suppose, and you know, it's always money is often a problem, John. There are challenges probably in many communities when it comes to a new library in addition to a library or what have you.
Sure. That's very true. And Grace, I appreciate your call. I've been at the Division for Libraries and Technologies, first as a consultant and then as director since late 2004. I've known each of the directors of the New Glarus Library, and the both the hopes, the good news, and then often the downturn in the process to get just more space to operate what they're doing already, much less some of those other new types of services they have. So I'm glad to hear that that new site, there's movement that's expected. I'm also glad to hear that you don't live in the village, but in that general area, and you offer your support for the library as well, because the counties do need to pay libraries for use of people who live in adjacent areas for use of the libraries. That's part of the funding structure that we have. But if we can get some more recognition, whether it's for the fundraising, but also recognition by the municipalities, and there's somewhat of a finesse in order to remind them that the libraries are more and more a destination for people coming in, whether to use the Wi-Fi, to get some training, to attend a program, to get the story time, and that then they're there and use the local businesses and not just the other way around as it may once have been. So libraries also are taking their programs and services outside and trying to find those, you know, members of the community where they may not be aware of the services or not physically able to get to them. So thanks for calling.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Just to go along with what you were saying, we had an email from Daniel who said about his local library, the Fond du Lac Library, has a really cool area called the Ideas Lab. It's a maker space that offers courses that allow access to things like 3D printers, laser cutters, engravers, even a recording studio. They also have work tables for people to come in anytime during the operating hours to just gather and create. And he says, oh, and there's a demonstration kitchen. So it kind of goes.
It is a great space. We had one of our statewide Council on Libraries and Network Development meetings there so that we could go down and see that innovative maker space. And those are springing up in communities around the state. It's another way to help people be creative, whether it's, I love the kitchen space, and they've got some old and new refrigerator doors mounted on the wall as you go in. My son had a summer job, two summers with AmeriCorps at the Fond du Lac Library when they were doing some, you know, outreach, children's programming and things like that. And one of the fellow AmeriCorps members, Josh, is still on the staff at the Fond du Lac Library, got his library degree from the UW-Milwaukee Library School. And he and the creative director, John Mark, you know, really were the energy behind that space, the funding, the partnerships with local businesses. It's a terrific thing to see because it does take some creative thinking and sometimes creative funding in order to bring new types of services when you still support what the library's always done and is still expected to do. So kudos there.
Yeah. Thanks again. Lily in Walworth County, we'll go to you next. Hi, Lily.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call. I manage the Walworth County Literacy Council, and we work with the Lakeshore's Library System Libraries, approximately 10 libraries that provide services for our tutors to meet with adult students who are learning English, learning how to read and write, obtaining their citizenship, or working on preparing for their GED. And we would not be able to provide services to these residents without the assistance from the libraries. So the libraries are just an invaluable asset to our council.
Oh, Lily, thank you. John,
yeah, thanks, Lily. The we also should, I should give some thanks to the legislature. We receive, and my team is responsible for distributing funds to the, I believe it's five regional literacy offices. It's about $85,000 in funding now, but that small amount goes a long way to help them coordinate training resources. My wife, she volunteers or has volunteered as a through the Literacy Council for citizenship training. But the, you know, those reading skills, it isn't just our children who learn to read,
yeah.
And sometimes it's older adults who wanting to be able to read to grandchildren or who are tasked with sometimes raising their grandchildren who find that they want to develop more reading skills and do it in a in a kind and welcoming environment. Yeah. And the literacy volunteers, often using the space in the public libraries, are very much key to that. So thanks for bringing that
up.
Yeah,
thank you very much, Lily. Stella in Sturgeon Bay, hi.
Hi. I just wanted to mention the idea of little free libraries. Mm-hmm. We have two of them in front of our house. And they are very popular and much used. And about 6 years ago, going off of that idea, my husband's an organic gardener, so we started having a little free organic tomato patch in front of our house as well by the little free libraries. And it is very popular and well patronized.
Well, that's a great story, Stella. Thanks.
Thanks, Stella. And our the church across the street from where I live on the west edge of Sun Prairie has a – it's the same similar type of box, but it's for – dry goods, foods for people who may feel stigmatized going into a food pantry and or those who want to help stock and support those. Little Free Libraries were born in Wisconsin, in northwest Wisconsin. The original design, and if people want to register them, of course, anyone can build one and put them out.
Yeah.
My father-in-law did the first in Washington, D.C. He was 90 years old when he did it. But it's another way to, you know, help support reading and keep books in the hands of those. And in Door County, when you have such an influx of additional population where you're, while you've got a great consolidated county library system, it's just hard to meet those demands.
It definitely is. Well, I had one more email. Sue in the show said any and all libraries are a happy place from bringing her children when they were young and remembering the kindness of librarians and assistants who helped us find the right book. It still makes me smile. And librarians, I have found, are among the nicest people in the whole world, to be perfectly honest, and the most helpful. I've been helped many times in my life by librarians, and I think the work that you're doing, John, is great work, and our libraries are thriving, aren't they?
That's right. Thanks, Larry. And I really love that last comment, too, because that's let me go out with a smile on my face. And I need those, you know, sometimes we need those words of encouragement, and the libraries do as well, because what I tend to hear more are when there are problems or funding issues or libraries going into the budget, competing services in communities. But it's working with the public and getting the smile from the patron who comes in looking for something they remember from years past or something that's new. That's what makes it gratifying. Thank you.
Thank you, John. I hope we have a chance to do this again. I'd love to have you back at some point. It'd be a lot of fun.
You bet. Thanks, Larry.
John DeBacher, Director of the Public Library Development Team within the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction. We'll have him back. We'll talk again about libraries. Loved it. Join us tomorrow when we talk about dragons and damselflies. That's tomorrow. In the meantime, stay with us. Lots more in store here on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry.